marks my soul as astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When he reached down his hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when my Savior reached down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When my Savior reached down for me, I was near to despair when He came to me there. And He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete. When He reached down His hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when my Savior reached down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When my Savior reached down for me. How my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the timidest to Him I then flee, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from harm. Since He reached down His hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when my Savior reached down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When my Savior reached down for me.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister Becky. I certainly am thankful to be here today, and I've enjoyed the good singing today. And Brother Ronnie, that last song that we sung was just right to preface the things that I have on my heart this morning. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in the 116th Psalm. If you want to read along with me in the lesson today, please turn there to Psalm 116. I want to begin reading with verse 1. I want to tell you before I begin reading what I believe this psalm is. I believe it to be a personal testimony. I believe it's a personal testimony that the psalmist gave of how that the Lord had dealt with and saved his soul. Some people may have different thoughts, but that's what I believe it to be. Psalm 116, beginning with verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And I will conclude my reading there with verse 14. The title of my message today is going to be in the form of a question. And that being, when did it happen for you? As I've already said, I believe the psalmist here spoke about the time that it happened for him, about his experience with God. We preach, and I'm saying we as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, we preach, we teach, we uphold this teaching because we believe it to be true from the Scriptures. We uphold this teaching that only God can save somebody. Amen. And that when you are saved, only the Lord can let you know that you're saved. We stand for those things. And also that, and you have heard this, I'm sure, said many times, a time and a place where you know that you were saved. And I want to explain a little bit about that. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. Sometimes I believe if you just say a time and a place, that might be confusing. And I want you to understand that when that terminology is used, when that's said, that we're not talking about time on the clock. We're not talking about the day or the week or even the year, as far as that goes. We're not talking necessarily about the physical place even, although most people do remember the physical place that they were saved. But what we're talking about in that is what the psalmist David spoke about here. And you might see in this, if you read this, you'll observe in what David said here concerning what happened to him, that he never mentioned a specific time. He never mentioned a specific day or specific geographical location where this happened. But what he did talk about was the knowledge of an experience that he had with God. And that's what we're making reference to. Knowing that you have had that salvation experience with God. Salvation comes at the end of faith. When a person has repented of their sins and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing between that point where a person trusts the Lord with all their heart and they get saved. There's nothing in between. Faith is that final thing that takes place before a person gets saved. When a person repents of their sin and trusts the Lord to his satisfaction, he saves them instantly. God doesn't save when someone repents, and there is a process of things that happen. There are things that take place for a person to get saved. We hear the gospel. We believe it to be the truth of God's word. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sins through the power of that. And we know that there are things that happen that lead up to us being saved. But when a person repents of their sins and trusts God with all their heart, God doesn't save them a year later, or he doesn't save them gradually. They don't get a little bit now and a little bit later. Folks, salvation comes in an instant. There were things that were, approximately 9 months for most people, there were things that led up to our natural birth. There was a process there. But you look on your birth certificate and you will find that there was a specific time when you were born into the world, and that was our birth. And it's that way with the new birth. God saves us at the point that we have repented and believed to his satisfaction. God saves us then, and from then on we are eternally saved. David here spoke about things that were happening inside of him, in his heart, in the very inward being of him. This trouble and sorrow was not just something that he spoke about that troubled his flesh, but he was talking about something that he found troubling him way down deep inside. Now, I want to say this, that to the intellectual part of man, oftentimes these things are confusing. But let me say this. Let me say this when it comes to concerning salvation. Don't try to figure it out. Feel after it. That's what the Bible teaches us. Don't try to figure it out in your mind. You know, the carnal mind of man, the Bible says, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. And some people have hindered themselves greatly by trying to figure everything out in their mind. Folks, listen, you can't figure out how to be saved. You've just got to seek the Lord and trust him for it. You'll spend the rest of your days trying to put everything in place in your mind. It's not a work of the mind. It's a work of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so what we find here and what's important about this, you know, the place, and I know that we hear songs about this and we hear testimonies about this, and certainly the place that a person gets saved is a special place to them. Why, sure it is. It ought to be, but listen, that's not the most important thing, is it? The most important thing is what took place there. The physical place, the geographical location where I was at when I was saved by God's grace. I've told you before, I was saved in a little one-bedroom apartment that I lived in, and I don't even know if that structure or that building is standing anymore. They may have long since come along and torn that down and built a new place. I don't know if it's still there or not, but I'll tell you what, they'll never tear down what happened there that night. That will never be destroyed. So David here spoke about what he had experienced from the hand of the Lord. He had different feelings, didn't he? He first spoke about the fact that he felt sorrow. The sorrows of death can pass me, he said. And the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. I can tell you, I believe, in one word what David was feeling. He was feeling contrition. He was feeling condemnation. He was feeling the weight of sin upon his soul. When a person realizes, when you really come to the realization that you are lost and separated from a holy and a just God, when God makes you know that, it doesn't put joy down in your heart. It puts trouble and sorrow down in your heart. It did the same thing for me. There's not, and you know what? I'm not saying it has to be this way for everybody. You may have a passage of Scripture that you can relate more to in the Bible than what I can. But the 116th Psalm for me, there has never been any other Scripture in the Bible that I can relate my experience to the way that I can this. I know exactly what David was talking about. I know exactly what that trouble and sorrow was that he was talking about. I know what he was saying when he said the pains of hell got hold upon me and I found trouble and sorrow, and I well remember that great feeling of guilt and condemnation that was in my soul just prior to the moment when God gave me peace. But he related here his experience of what had taken place between him and the Lord. And let me say this to you again. That's where salvation takes place, between you and the Lord. Sometimes I think, you know, people may get the idea, well, those Baptist people, that's all they talk about. Well, yes, listen, we want you to be saved. Those of us who have been saved, we have a great desire to see you saved. But I'm willing today to try to stay out of God's way and to just tell you this, that whether or not you ever get it, it's going to be between you and God. It's not going to be between you and me, or between you and the church, or between you and your family. It's going to be between you and the Lord, because he's the one that you are responsible to. It's between you and God today. It really is. I want to read to you something from the pages of Baptist history. This was recorded in Semple's History of the Baptist in Virginia. A man by the name of Shubal Stearns. Is anybody here today in the baptismal line of Brother H.C. Vanderpool? Is anybody here today baptized by Brother Vanderpool? If you are, unless I've got my history wrong, which I don't think I do, but this man that I want to talk about is in your baptismal line, Shubal Stearns. And he was... because I know I saw Brother Vanderpool's baptismal genealogy one time, and Brother Stern's name was in there. But in the 1750s, and this was spoken of from North Carolina in the 1750s, I want to show you the way that the Baptists were teaching and preaching then in the 1750s, here in the early, early years of our nation. He had gone to North Carolina, Guilford County, North Carolina, and established a church there known as Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And it says, the natives around this little colony of Baptists, although brought up in the Christian religion, were grossly ignorant of its essential principles. Having the form of godliness, they knew nothing of its power. The doctrine of Mr. Stearns and his party was consequently quite strange. To be born again appeared to them as absurd as it did to the Jewish doctor when he asked if he must enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again. Having always supposed that religion consisted in nothing more than the practice of its outward duties, they could not comprehend how it should be necessary to feel conviction and conversion. But to be able to ascertain the time and place of one's conversion was, in their estimation, wonderful indeed. These points were all strenuously contended for by the new preachers. What were the Baptists doing in the 1750s in North Carolina? As I said, in the early years of our country, what were they preaching? What were they teaching? They were teaching people about conviction of sin and conversion by the Lord, of knowing of a time and place experience in your life where you know you've been saved. That was being taught in the 1750s in our country. But friends, I want you to know something, that it was being taught well beyond that. It was being taught even before the New Testament church was even established. It was being spoken of by David, the king of Israel, long ago, when he related in this beautiful psalm the time that God had spoken peace to his soul and what had happened to him prior to that, and how he felt before he was saved and how he felt after that he was saved. I'll tell you what happened to him. He got peace with God. There are people today, let me tell you something, there are religious people today that will argue the point. Actually, they will completely deny this, that people get saved by praying. Did you know that? That there are people today that deny that you get saved by calling on God. They say you get saved by doing this and doing that and following the steps that are written in the scripture, and praying to God has nothing to do with it. But let's think about what David said here. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Do you think David wasn't pouring his heart out to God? Do you think he wasn't praying to God that God would speak peace to his soul? Why, sure he was. Then the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call upon him in that way, friend, you will be saved. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And what happened? What happened? Well, something did, didn't it? There was a change that took place, was there not? Because we read that he spoke about having this trouble and sorrow, and then calling upon the Lord, and he said, gracious is the Lord and merciful, yea, our God is righteous. I was brought low, and he did what? He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Don't tell me that God hadn't done something for David in that hour. He certainly had. I'll tell you what. People can make fun of me all they want to. I mean, if they choose to scoff at my conversion, that's up to them. But I'll tell you what, I got it and I'm going home with it one of these days. And I know it's real. I know it's real. I know I've got that point in my life where God spoke peace to my soul. And friends, we're not just trying, you know, we're not just trying to get you to see that that's what missionary Baptists believe. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Word of God teaches. And that's exactly what David related here, was the experience that he had with God. But let's go a little further. Let's look a little bit more. And remember, I ask you this question. When did it happen for you? I want you today to think about your own experience. We need to keep that ever before us. And remember that time and think about that time that the Lord spoke peace to our soul. God bid that we would ever put that on the back burner. We need to keep that before us and meditate upon what God did for us and remind ourselves from time to time. I can go around the room here after having been here for going on 5 years. I can go around the room and I can tell many of you today how old you were when you got saved, where you were at when you got saved, because I've heard it in your testimonies. You got anything else better to talk about? I mean, is there anything better than that to talk about? Is there anything better than that to share with people? Has anything in your life ever been any better for you? Have you ever had a better experience with anything in your life than what you had with the Lord Jesus Christ when He spoke peace to your soul? I know I haven't. Amen. I know I haven't. Amen. So many times, so many situations in my life when something would be bringing me down, when something would be greatly troubling me, my mind and my heart would run back to that time when I got saved by God's grace, and I would know in that, and I would take comfort and assurance in that, that no matter what it was that was happening, that it was only going to be for a while, because I'm going home to be with God. I've been saved by His grace, and you know, the devil can only mess with me for so long, and this world can only afflict me for so long. And one of these days, all the troubles and the trials of it, I'll just lay them down and I'll go home to be with God. I'm telling you, folks, listen, I've said this before, I want to say it to you again today. No matter what you do, no matter how you spend your life, no matter how many different directions your life goes, no matter how many things you may accomplish with the work of your hands while you're here, every one of us, we are coming to that little split second of time in our lives where the only thing that's going to make any difference at all is whether or not you've had that experience of salvation with God. When you get ready to draw your last breath, you ever been with anybody when they died? I have several times. And it's just that frail. Life is that fragile. They're there. They breathe a breath. And they don't breathe anymore. And they're gone. I've seen several people die like that. They were breathing, and then they weren't. Just a breath separates us from eternity. That's how frail that the human life is. And in that moment, when that last breath is about to come, do you think it's really going to make any difference for you in eternity how much worldly fame you may have had, or how much money that you may have had, or how big or how small that your house was, or how big your bank account was? Friends, I want to promise you today that none of those things will make any difference in that moment. The only thing that's going to matter is, have you experienced the new birth? That's it. Because everything you have, you're going to leave it anyway. You're going to leave it behind anyway. The Apostle Paul found it on the road to Damascus. You can find it recorded in Acts chapter 26 and Acts chapter 22. He told his experience. He told what had happened there to him on the road to Damascus when he was going there for the purpose of bringing the saints of God back to Jerusalem to be punished. And a voice from heaven spoke out to him, and there was a great light that shined around him. And Paul said, "Who is it, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And Paul was saved by God's grace there and called into the ministry there on the road to Damascus. That was his testimony. There was a little short man, a man of little stature by the name of Zacchaeus. And he knew one day that Jesus was going to be passing by, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see the Lord when he came by. And when the Lord got there, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. Make haste, because today I must abide at your house." And Zacchaeus repented of his sins before him. He said, "Lord, you know, whatever I've done, you know, those," he was a tax collector, and he said, "those whom I have taken from, I restore fourfold." He turned away from his sin. And you know what the Lord told him? Today is salvation come to your house. I believe Zacchaeus got saved right there. That's what I believe about it. I believe that was his experience with the Lord. There was a jailer that we read about in the 16th chapter of Acts that got saved on the job. He was there watching the prisoners, and Paul and Silas were in prison, and there was a great earthquake that came, and it shook the foundation of the prison, and their chains fell off and they were loose. And this man, believing that he had failed in his job and knowing that he would lose his life for it anyway, he took out a sword and was going to kill himself. But Paul spoke up and said, "Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." And this man called for a light, and he came in and he fell down there at the feet of those men, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they instructed him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he got saved, and listen, folks, if that man was standing here before us today, he's been dead many years, but if he was standing here before us today, that's exactly what he would tell us. If he was going to relate to us his experience, he would say, "Well, I was in jail there in Macedonia doing my job, and I had these preachers in jail, and there was a great earthquake that came, and the Lord came and shook that foundation, and it caused their chains to fall off, and I got in so much trouble, and I had so much fear there under the power of God that I just fell down before them and asked them what I had to do to be saved. And they told me to believe on the Lord, and I did, and I was saved." That's exactly what he would tell us, isn't it? So it happened for him there in the jail. I guess if you were going to, and I don't really believe that one is any more important than another. A lot of people found the Lord, bless their hearts. A lot of people found the Lord in a church service, kneeling on a mourner's bench with people praying all around him. That's wonderful. That's great. But the experience that other people had in a fence row or wherever that it was, stretched across their bed, the same thing happened to them. God's everywhere. Aren't you glad God's everywhere? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be in a certain place to be saved? God can save you wherever you'll humble your heart before him. So I suppose if you were to ask me, "Well, what's the most unique situation you've read about?" I guess for me it would have to be, It's just always been an amazing thought to me that a man got saved hanging on a cross right next to the Lord Jesus. while the Lord was there dying for this man's sins. He repented. The one thief was saying, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself? He didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. If you are, why don't you save yourself and, save us? And this other thief said, do you not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. He believed who the Lord Jesus was, and he turned to him right there hanging on the cross. He turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord told him, today, you will be with me in paradise. And he went home to be with God. Isn't that something? I know that deathbed testimonies can happen, but I sure don't recommend waiting. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I'm thankful today that I can stand up with all of those down through the years. You know, as David recorded for us here in the 116th Psalm, I don't know where he was at when it happened. Didn't tell us. But he told us about what did happen. And as David and Paul on the road and Zacchaeus at the tree and the thief on the cross and all of those down through the ages of time that can give an experience of when God spoke peace to their soul, I'm just thankful to God that I can stand in that number. Because you see, I had my time. I had my time with the Lord. And it's only for me. You can't go in on my experience. You've got to have your own. You've got to have your own. I've enjoyed the times that I've heard you share your experience with me. I like to listen to people tell what God did for them. But I came here today with this prayer. If you're here today and you're lost, my prayer is that you can look back and you can say, well, that Sunday morning at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that was my day. And that can happen if you'll meet the Lord on His conditions here today. That can be the case. So I would like to ask for a song.
Brother, I really feel like we need to give somebody the opportunity to
join
the church today.
Pardon?
To open the doors to the church.
We can do that. It has been requested that we open the doors of the church. While we sing, we'll do that. I want to say this too, that the altar here is always open. If you need to come and pray, then we want to encourage you to do that very thing. We receive members first by experience and baptism. If you know that you have been saved by God's grace, then you come and you relate your experience of that, and the church will hear and act accordingly and grant you all privileges of the church when you're baptized. We receive members by letter from our sister churches with whom we fellowship. And sometimes in situations where someone perhaps belonged to a church that was that has since gone out of existence, and you can't obtain a letter, then sometimes we receive members by statement. So if the Lord is knocking on your heart today to unite with the church, then while we sing this song, I'd like to ask you if you would to come up and stand by me, and the church will hear your testimony. Lost friend, I want to urge you today to seek the Lord, because you need to be saved. You need salvation more than anything else. So let's stand and sing.
46. I was kneeling one day, asking God to forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my all unto Jesus, the Savior. Then the glory came down, I was saved from sin. Oh, the glory did roll, I was happy and free. I had heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. And such a wonderful joy I was given within. When the Savior in love saved me from all sin, I will praise His dear name for the wonderful victory. And the joy in my heart all along the way. I am longing to see heaven's glorious city, and to hear the Lord call, come and live forever. Oh, the glory did roll, I was happy and free. I had heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. And such a wonderful joy I was given within. When the Savior in love saved me from all sin.
Thank you. You can be seated for a moment. I appreciate your attention today. We, as I said earlier, we have a meal prepared downstairs, and we want everybody to stay. But I'm gonna ask here in a moment. I'm gonna ask Brother Ronnie to lead us in one more song, because the ladies that and those are on the list. I don't have it here, but that are on the list to set up the tables need to be on down there, I guess, getting that done. But they're going to need a few moments to get things ready downstairs, and so we'll have another congregational song. And then I want to say, if anyone needs the elevator service, Brother Ernest Sanford will take you down back here at this door by the clock. He'll take you down in the elevator if you need that service. And when we get ready, after we have the song, when we get ready to go line up to go downstairs and eat, we would like to invite our visitors to eat first. And then I also, too, along with them today, I would also like to ask the veterans and their wives if they would to line up. And we're going to recognize the veterans today in that way by letting them go ahead of us also. So let's enjoy another song together. And the last two or three times that I've said this, okay, as soon as we start the singing, everybody has run downstairs, but they need some time to get things ready, okay? So please stay here and let's have a song together, and then perhaps they'll be ready for us to go through the line. So lost friend, the altar's still open. Still open, so.
168. Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I found. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my